welcome to our Point Counterpoint program, Black on Black Crime with Jerome Finesse. On this program, we're going to talk about Chris Garden versus the late Johnny Cochran and Nicki Minaj and all of her people she's against. But anyway, I need to tell you what we're not about. Okay, so just in case you don't know, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about anyone else. All right, and with that being said, we're going to bring in Finesse. What's going on, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on, FC? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I know we have a pretty full show, and I know there's some things that you're going to want to bring up. So what other things do you have on tap?
We've got the Sound Off segment today where I talk about black media and the election. And also, I'm in a controversy with Lupe Fiasco and his song Bad B or Bad Bitch. Because that's a pretty accepted word now. We'll talk about the controversy, especially when it deals with African-American women. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and with that, I did forget that we have a clip from the DNC convention from the great speeches of First Lady Michelle Obama and former President Bill Clinton. I know a lot of people go through these days talking about, you know, I don't know what happened, I don't know anything about politics, but Bill Clinton did such a good job of kind of framing the presidency and what he was up against and what he accomplished, so I'll be throwing a clip for our bigger break this afternoon. I'm trying to think, what there was something else that we're missing on the program.
Do you remember?
I know we're full today, but I know there's a whole lot of stuff. But okay, but I guess I could first say, all right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're on SB Radio, Ask Kathleen. We're going to be picked up. We're going to go on MySoul Radio at some point. And our call-in number is 909-265-9189. If you want to join in and listen, if you just want to add your comments, the chat room is open. But I just want to remind you, just like always, you know, you want to keep your comments relevant, avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity. And I'll flag Finesse if he actually crosses that too. So we'll try to keep it. We'll try to keep it someplace in there, too. All right.
Hey, Espy, can I send a very special shout-out to people down in Live Oak, Florida? They listen to the show, man. They listen to the show. Shout-out especially to Elaine and Walt. What's up, family? Nice conversation today. And also, brother hit me up from Nigeria. They are listening to the show over in Nigeria. So thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah, you know, I always like to, you know, I appreciate everyone at home and some of our international folks that are listening to the show. You can join in on the show as well. I know some of these things are universal, and this we import a lot of crazy stuff from the U.S., so we want to make sure that we work to clear up some of this stuff. So, again, Black on Black Crime is when people overtly focus, when black people specifically overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people. So other people have a tendency to overtly focus, criticize, and analyze black people. So we're here to help clear that up today. So, you know, on that note, who do we want to start off with? Do we want to start off with the Lupe fiasco or the Nicki Minaj? We'll start off with that because our main story is the Chris Darden, if you remember him from the O.J. case. He's the prosecutor, the only black person on the prosecutor, mind you. And he made some comments about the late Johnny Cochran, but we'll get to that after our break later on.
We'll say Lupe the last because Nicki might be short and sweet.
Okay, so let's start with Nicki. Now, on the Nicki Minaj thing, now, first of all, there's a new mixtape, and I won't say the name of it, but Nicki Minaj apparently endorses Willard Mitt Romney by saying in one of her songs, "I'm a Republican voting for Mitt Romney, you lazy beep," is beeping up the economy. And that's just a line from her rhyme. And And she says, now I'm just kind of thinking, if I was critiquing the lyrics, yeah, that's pretty much a hotline. It's kind of a pop culture kind of line. But for policy and for social consciousness, I'm going to give her a zero for that. Now, on a side note, she's a clown. So I don't know if she was impersonating a Republican when she made the statement about the GOP, but Nicki Minaj previously tweeted that Obama should go even farther with health care reform, which, you know, Romney vowed to appeal. So she has made statements in the past where she was supporting kind of a more liberal agenda, but in that one particular song, I think she did for publicity. So we can start there with Nicki Minaj on her hate.
Well, you know, and doing my homework for the show today, there are a couple of things. I wanted to see what, you know, Black America, what their feelings were on what she said. And there's a misdemeanor being created by some of these Black folks that got on Twitter and what they're responding to her. One quote was, you know, I'm not going to let my daughter listen to Nicki Minaj anymore because she's a Republican. Well, there's two things wrong here. First and foremost, Black people got to stop, you know, judging people. If you're in politics and you vote and you get in elections, stop judging people because they choose to be a Republican or Democrat. That's their choice. That's their decision. Just like if people that don't vote or people that want to be liberals. That's none of your business, and you can't get mad because somebody, just because somebody says they want to be Republican. That's not where Esprit and I are going in this conversation with this, because that's a choice. But the right. issue is it what Nicki said, and I'll address that in a minute. But the second part is for the misdemeanor for Black folks is this. You know Nicki Minaj's lyrics. So the only reason why you're not going to let your daughter listen to Nicki Minaj is because she's a Republican, but everything else she says is okay. That's something to think about, and that's where we're lost, and we're not going to get on that topic, but that had to throw that out there. That's the misdemeanor. The felony
right.
that Nicki Minaj made is this. I could care less about, you know, your politics and whatever it is you choose, but when you put something out there to the same people you're talking to, the people that are supporting you, are these people that are on welfare, are these people who don't have a lot of, are the same people that are unemployed. For you to put this out there and say the things that he said, regardless if it was a hotline or not, that's the part the crime was in. And because whether or not she believes that, she responded to it, she hasn't said anything about it, but what happens is that's the perception that a white media runs with. Whether it's true, whether it's false, they don't care. They have this perception how Black people are, what they think. So when someone comes along and they says this, and from what I understand, Mitt Romney is embracing this because he has no
right.
ends with the Black folks. And you put out
right.
a lie, and he's already putting out there a lie and believes a myth. A lot of things that he said, now you're adding fuel to the fire, and that's what we don't need. We don't need any more lies or negative things when it comes to the Black culture, and I think that was a crime in itself. And for the record, because people are like, well, are you a Nicki Minaj fan? I never was a Nicki Minaj fan. I know the whole story about Nicki. Ron and I talked about that, but that's for something later. But know this. Nicki will say anything to make money. Don't put stock in whatever she says.
Right. And, you know, and speaking of that, we have a tweet that came from Talib Kweli, and he tweeted mm-hmm. that, you know, Minaj is what he said, was just seeking publicity. I doubt Nicki seriously supports Romney. Her lyrics ain't political. She just wants y'all to talk about her, and she's winning because it's working. And, you know, and I actually agree with him. That's why I didn't really want to talk about her. But in light of that, you know, there was another internet comment that said that the fact that the front page of MSN's news, this is the web portal, MSN, is Nicki Minaj raps about voting for Mitt Romney has made me lose all hope in humanity. So the problem is, according to, you know, I agree with that comment, is that since she's getting front page news, now we have to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Talib Kweli did say, if you're doing it for publicity, it's working. But we get stuff used against us, so we get to use black-on-black crime as a show to combat all of that. So she's working to get her publicity. We're shooting it down as publicity. So hey, who wins when it really comes down to it?
Well, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, you guys don't know when you're putting together a show like this, if you really care about your show, there's a lot of work that goes in it. And Esprit and I put in a lot of work for the show. And when this conversation was brought up, Esprit didn't want to touch it because he didn't want to give fire, you know, to that silliness about just putting her in the news just to talk about it. But when you look at what she said and how damaging it is to the community, you have to look at it, you got to stop and say, this is a black-on-black crime. Especially, you're making money off these same people, and the nerve of you to say that in a rhyme and direct it at your fans. I think if she really needs to be brought to the carpet on this, you know, on that.
Right.
Because she'll charge $150 or whatever it is to go see her in concert. And then she'll be peddling these same products that these corporations want her to sell to her fans, and then for her to come and say that comment. You know, these people are taking their last checks. Their parents
right.
are saying, you know, spending this money that they don't know where they're going to get this from, you know, get it from, just so their kids can go support and see her. And I think that's wrong. She definitely needs to be called to the carpet, and it's not in a good way. And we're not giving light to talk to her to, you know, it's a debate, but it's a crime. It's a black-on-black crime to the fullest.
Right. And you know, and worse than that, you know, she made another statement last week or during the VMAs that someone else tweeted that she made a gesture towards Rihanna. So initially on the black-on-black crime from her making statements towards her not hugging her, I'm not going to repeat what she said, but just from her doing that, she's constantly creating black-on-black crimes just for publicity. And, you know, so everyone's starting up this Drake, Chris Brown stuff, and saying that Nicki Minaj picking a side and she's mad at Rihanna and all of this nonsense. And so, you know, I'm not really big on creating kind of publicity towards beasts, let alone fake beasts, but just beasts generally. So she's committing those kind of crimes anyway. And I don't believe that our political discussion should ever be around Nicki Minaj. Like she just doesn't.
No.
She's not the person you go to when you want a political discussion.
Right, and it shouldn't be. And it's a shame that it really had to be just because of those, you know, bars that she said in the rhyme, and now that they're running with it with the Republicans, you know, who knows what Mitt Romney will say when he goes to address the NAACP again.
The NAACP is crazy for letting them come, so that would just be me. You only get to insult me once, but that's about it.
Yeah. I'm not gonna bring you to my house so you can insult me in my house.
Right, right. You come to my house and insult me again, we're gonna have a problem. So,
yeah.
You know, that is the big thing with NAACP with me is to say you don't have to always take that stuff and always have to hear somebody out when you know that they're doing something, especially policies that is strictly against what you're trying to do and what you're, you know, the progress that you're trying to make. You got to be really careful about that. So,
right.
You know.
Hey, Esprit, you want to give out the number? I'm getting people texting me what the phone number is they want to call in. Can you please give out the number so they can stop texting me?
All right. The phone number, our calling number today is area code 909-265-9189. Area code 909-265-9189. You know, I was just thinking that I need to put out the number, and I'm glad you reminded me, because we're going to take a quick break. We'll take a quick break. I want to come back and, you know, before we go into our main story, talk about what JC said as far as, you know, the whole 1% thing. I know we had another story. So we're going to take a quick break, give you a chance to call in. You can hit us in chat or dial in 909-269-9189. We're going to take a break, and we'll take a really quick break, you know, 60 second, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Jay-Z's comments, I guess is what we'll do. All right, so we'll be right back after this.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, hey, we always have a little technical difficulties in here. What's up, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, so just wanted to make sure you're still with us. Again, our number is area code 909-265-9189. You know, I was just looking at this story as far as Jay-Z is concerned, and it's kind of the same thing. We're talking about Nicki Minaj and all of this other stuff, but Jay-Z spoke to a New York Times recently. This is probably in New York Times today, but he spoke to New York Times about the Occupy movement and his beliefs that the movement lacked focus. Now, he said, I think all those things need to really declare themselves a bit more clearly, because when you just say that the 1% is that's not true. He said, yeah, the 1% that's robbing people and deceiving people, these fixed mortgages and all of those things, and then taking their homes away from them, that's criminal, that's bad. Not being an entrepreneur, this is free enterprise, that is what America's built on. Now, although Jay-Z's clothing line, Rockaware, sold this Occupy All Street message during the Occupy movement, none of the profits was donated to the Occupy movement, which drew a lot of criticism by the protest leaders. Now, Occupy Wall Street spokesman Patrick Bruner was quoted as saying, in response to those t-shirts, naturally there will be some bloodsuckers that come out of the woodwork, so he took a shot at them. And prior to yanking the t-shirts that Rockaware, you know, took away, they had a response that said that they strongly encouraged all forms of constructive expression, whether artistic, political, or social. So the Occupy All Street was their way of reminding people that there is change to be made everywhere, not just on Wall Street. Now, at the time, we have not made an official commitment to monetarily support the movement, and that came from Rockaware. Now, Finesse, with that being said, what do you think about Jay-Z's statements?
Well, one, I believe Jay-Z to be a lot smarter than that, and what he doesn't know, he tries to educate himself. So I'm hoping this was just a blip. But since it's black on black crime, a blip.
Nothing.
We
gotta call it.
Gotta call it for what it is. You know, and this
right.
comes from and I know he knows how popular this was. It was in the news for the first years of President Obama's term.
Right.
So. With that being said, you know, this goes back to the culture of when people put flyers out. They try to
right.
they parties and they say, what's hot right now? And they do their theme around that.
Right.
So if it's Martin Luther King Day, it's a Martin Luther King Day party, and on the flyer, Martin Luther King. So it's no different with these shirts. He took an Occupy, whatever. Because I'm making my comparison. I say he thought it was
okay.
a great idea. He's going to take the Occupy. He's all going to put this on a shirt. It's just the mentality. I didn't think he thought there was going to be any flack out of it when he did it. And now it's
right.
trying to bite him. At least he answered honestly. Because he could have lied. At least you know, the company didn't say, well, we weren't going to donate any money, but it still looks dumb. And it's definitely a black on black crime because, one, you're saying you don't educate yourself, you don't watch the news, and that's what people think. And to pull a stunt like this, and you know there's people out here that are suffering, I just think that that's crazy.
Okay, so here's my thing. And with Jay-Z, I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's smart. And just the path that he's taken, I'm not saying this just before I cut him up either. I'm just saying, like, I have a lot of respect for him. But when you start making comments saying that you don't understand why somebody is doing something, you probably should not make a comment. So him saying Occupy Wall Street wasn't defined. Occupy Wall Street wasn't defined by the media well. What happened during Occupy Wall Street, and just so that you know, everyone across the board, Occupy Wall Street did not have one defined goal, which was smart, right? Because you couldn't pacify them. They were actually protesting the austerity politics that was going on. So in Europe and different places that were having economic problems, you can't just cut taxes of rich people and raise fees on poor people. So Occupy movement took that upon their shoulders and said, listen, we need to change how we do political policy in this country, because all of those policies led to the crash and led to our recession and led to the Great Depression. And so Occupy was tired of seeing politics go the same old way. So that's what the Occupy movement was about. Instead of saying, you know, I didn't understand what it was about, if you're not versed in politics or see policy, you probably shouldn't say anything, because it seems like it was belittling. Now, I don't think Jay-Z was belittling them when he said it. He was just saying, oh, no, it's not about rich people. Occupy movement wasn't about punishing rich people. It was about the policies helping 1% of all people opposed to 99% of them. And so just to clear that up, he's not a political person, just like Nicki Minaj isn't a political person. But we had to be clear on this, just to say we still can't even let that go. As much as, you know, we'd like to respect these guys, we can't let that go because they're not speaking for us politically. And I don't think that he's meaning that to be political, but he's in the New York Times talking about the Occupy movement. So now we have to address it. So I want to make sure I gave that some kind of context.
Right.
And so, I mean, that was pretty clear, right?
Yes, that was very clear.
Now, so since we weren't bashing today, we try to make it our policy not to bash every day. So, but if you have some comments, you want to comment on those statements, just generally on those statements, you can call in area code 909-265-9189 or hit us up in chat. I also want to thank all of the posts and notes that I've been getting and texts that I've been getting about the show. I just want to tell you I'm doing my best to keep Finesse in some kind of range. So thanks for your support. Finesse thinks he gets all the support. Like, I'm bashing him, so I have to say that for the record.
Hey, you the commissioner. So you got your little cronies that's going to support you. I have my NFL teams. That support me.
Look, you know, just for the record, and since our chairman is Kathleen, she's not hitting us up yet, but I know she's there. Kathleen is gonna let her be commissioner every time we throw flags on you in case you have a challenge. Okay, so you can't call Kathleen my crony because Kathleen will go against me. So I just want to say that. Got to butter her up. So. We have a new rule on black on black crime. If you throw a flag on Finesse, and he gets a 30-second challenge to explain why he has the right to bash somebody black. We don't really let that happen on the show. All right. So on that note, you know, before we go to our main topic, we're talking about you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN, on Ask Kathleen Network, on Esprit Radio, and I want to make sure that you join in and let your voice be heard if that's what you want to do. Our calling number is 909-265-9189 if you want to join us. Today's topic is, our main topic, we're discussing Chris Darden, who's the prosecutor doing the OJ case, made a statement about the late legendary Johnny Cochran. You know, I'm going to call him Punk A. Chauncey all show. I'm just going to tell you that about Chris Darden. That's what I'm going to call him.
That's a flag. That's a flag.
Okay, I know that's a flag, but I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to need the commissioner to come in on this because this is going to be a justified black-on-black crime when we talk about what he did. So we're going to take a break. Finesse, get the flags on me. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back after this break. We're going to go right into it. So stay with us. Captain, if you're out there, this has nothing. We don't really need the commissioner to step on this. This is Finesse acting up.
See, commissioner with the inside help. You get a flag, you get a fine, y'all. Right in. You need your letters.
Oh, Lord. We'll be back. This is Black on Black Crime.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem. Call us at 800-433-7620. 800-433-7620.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome to Black on Black Crime. Thanks for joining us today. I just want to remind you what Black on Black Crime is. Now, Black on Black Crime is not the average definition of Black on Black Crime. It is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas that they won't consider about anyone else. So on that note, our main topic today is attorney or prosecutor, L.A. prosecutor, former L.A. prosecutor, Chris Darden versus the late Johnny Cochran, Jr. Now, in the OJ case, Chris Darden was one of the prosecutors that they brought in, I think, personally, to bring in some color. That's not a black-on-black crime, Finesse. That's why I left your mic open, just in case you had to flag me. But here's the thing. Nearly 17 years ago, after O.J. Simpson was acquitted from his Los Angeles murder trial, a free man, the prosecutor, one of the prosecutors, not the lead prosecutors, but one of the prosecutors in the case, alleged that the defense lawyer, Johnny Cochran, tampered with a piece of evidence. Now, former L.A. Deputy District Attorney Christopher Darden accused Simpson's defense lawyer, Johnny Cochran, of manipulating the glove. Now, during a panel discussion about the trial at Pace University in New York City, Darden, who was a member of the prosecution team, declared, "I think Johnny tore the lining of the glove. There were some additional tears in the lining, so OJ's fingers couldn't fit all the way up the glove." Now, Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz, who Dershowitz called the claim that defense had the opportunity to tamper with the glove a total fabrication, and he said the defense doesn't get access to evidence except under special controlled circumstances. So Darden's remarks came after Dershowitz, who was a fellow panelist, called Darden's decision to have Simpson's glove try on, have decisions for Simpson to try on a glove the first time, the most stupid thing that a prosecutor could have done. And Alan Dershowitz was a part of OJ's defense team. So here you go, Finesse. the black guy accused the other team of tampering with evidence during the trial.
My thing is,
I didn't get a flag on that either.
What I want to say is, I know I get a flag, but the end.
No. This could be justified. This could be a justified black on black crime, because I am calling Darden, for record, Punk A. Chauncey for the whole show. So you let it fly, because okay. I'm going to get a flag on this one. I don't care. Go ahead.
Okay. This Negro here.
Uh-huh.
And I suddenly use the word Negro.
I use the word Negro lightly.
yes, I use it lightly. But how you gonna accuse somebody who can't defend themselves and they dead? How do you do that? And after all these years, you still talking about a case that you lost,
right?
That you guys messed up, because from understanding the case, there are people that told you don't bring up the gloves and have OJ trying the gloves.
Right.
You were forewarned from the makers of the glove, don't put on because the glove changes, it shrinks to fit the and yet you decided to bring this up. And they keep digging, and they keep digging, is that's the ultimate black-on-black crime, because Johnny Cochran can't defend himself.
Right.
OJ can't defend himself. So now you want to use this as a platform as people do, to get their voice heard. Are you broke, Christopher Darden? Do you just want another platform so you can make money? Because now we're talking about a clown once again, and now he's in the news. He'll be getting called and asked for offers or clarification or whatever, and he's not biting his tongue. But when do you give it? When do you give it a rest? Because it's not fair. You don't speak. And accuse people of something and they can't defend themselves.
Right. And the main spirit of black on black crime, too, I'm going to say this. There is justified black on black crime, because when people start selling you out for either a dollar or they're selling you out just for their own publicity, that is problematic. So we don't give Christopher or Punk A. Chauncey a pass just because he thinks that we should protect the fact that he's saying something that he knows is wrong. Now, at the same time, you know, Alan Dershowitz, who was the defense attorney, one of the defense attorneys for OJ, said, you had policemen lie on the stand, but you didn't go back and prosecute them either. And Christopher Darden's response to that on the same panel was, well, I didn't want to seem like I was snitching on the police department. Chris Darden said that. As much as we talk about no...
So you rather send a black man to jail for a crime he didn't commit.
and not snitch on the other police officers who were lying on OJ.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Punk A. Chauncey. See, justified black on black crime.
You know how Mark Furman is. And I hear people talk about Mark Furman all the time. He was made to look bad. Look, folks, go listen to an NWA album before the OJ Simpson trial. They were talking about Mark Furman in the hood.
Mark Furman, right. Prior to that, Mark Furman. Yeah, he had a reputation already, and so you can't go back on Mark Furman. Now I want to say this, since Johnny Cochran passed a brain tumor, I want to say it was in 2005, maybe. But Cedars-Sinai Medical Center opened a Johnny L. Cochran Jr. Brain Tumor Center in 2007. So Johnny Cochran has, I just want to say, his law firm is still there. He's still around. But that's unfortunate that people really want to sully someone's name after the fact, and he blamed Johnny Cochran specifically, opposed to saying someone tampered with the glove. He threw out the name of somebody who could have just ate him up right off the bat. So anyway, with that being said, I'm going to go to the phone lines because we have a caller on the line. Welcome, and I think this is our commissioner, Kathleen.
Hey.
Kathleen, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey,
hey,
Kathleen.
Hey.
I know somebody, but they be getting a letter in the mail for the crime they committed today.
Well, actually, I was calling. I was kicking in this for this round because I used to work at Cedar Sinai.
Used to work where?
At Cedar Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Didn't you just say they just named the unit after Johnny Cochran?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes. No,
I
was just saying that I used to work there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that you all are really thrilled.
Oh, no. I'm thrilled about it. It's just that you're getting an echo from the show.
Oh, my
God.
Okay. Let me.
That right there proves why you shouldn't be
okay,
finished.
Is that better?
Vanessa's just talking about you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes, it is, Commissioner.
Is that a black-on-black crime that you're trying to crack on my phone?
No. That wasn't a black-on-black crime. I was just saying we were getting an echo, so when we talk, we heard our echo, but we heard you clearly, so we stopped talking so we wouldn't get the echo and we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying, how can the commissioner be justified being a commissioner if they don't know they got echo? I'm just, it's not black-on-black crime.
I know you're just saying, right?
So, Kathleen, he's just helping my case that he's going to get no justice and no peace.
Now you want to bring out a line from the Civil Rights Movement.
You know what? Punk A. Chauncey made that happen. Now I'm getting a little bit more tense.
So,
hey.
So
there will be no flag today.
What was your feeling about the brain unit?
Well, I don't know. When I saw it, I just know that you have to remember Johnny Compton had a brain tumor, and it was early on, on cell phone use back in the time of the OJ trial. He spent a lot of time on his phone, and so they need to do a lot of research on how he got it and all this other stuff. So I'm not sure how the unit came about, but I know that Johnny Cochran was pretty wealthy. He has a lot of firms, so I'm sure that they just kind of solicited and they donated. So I'm not sure on how it came about, though.
Oh, no, I was saying, I just tuned in because I was wondering if you were saying something about a problem with them having named it that, or you would just...
No. I was just making reference to the late Johnny Cochran saying that he has a center.
Yeah, that's
open
really,
up his center.
I'm really excited about that. I won't be on the air and talk about Cedar Sinai, but Cedar, you all, if you don't know the history or Cedar Sinai or the type of hospital it is, Cedar Sinai is the hospital for the stars. It's in basically in Beverly Hills, and it's an incredible, incredible medical facility. When I was working there, Michael Jackson, Lucille Ball, Jack Nicholson. I mean, you could see anybody going in there at any point in the day and time. And the care, the facility is state of the art, bar none. So I'm excited that they named a wing after Johnny Cochran. Really excited.
Right. And again, I have a lot of respect for Johnny Cochran. And we know, he represents everybody from Michael Jackson and Snoop. And Johnny Cochran, I can't remember who it was, Chris Rock. It was a Chris Rock joke saying that, we all knew if we had money, we could just get Johnny Cochran because he would make any bogus stuff go away. And so he was just saying, as a loss, just to black people generally, Johnny Cochran was the person to go to. He was a brilliant attorney. And he was very successful before he took on the famous cases to begin with. So, yes, I'm happy about that. Anytime there's respect to people who do good work, I'm with. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say this. In this story, because of Punk A. Chauncey, trying to bring up this old OJ stuff. Now, in a 2000-word document from F. Lee Bailey, who they actually created Ironside in honor of F. Lee Bailey winning all those cases, who was also one of OJ's attorneys, he said, he wrote a document called The Simpson Verdict that was in 2007 as a book proposal, and it never materialized, but he published it on his website. And he said, it's time somebody put out the real facts of the case. So Bailey said the team was prepared to call in four witnesses who never testified, a forensic scientist, an expert in women battery, and a blood expert. And the most important person was the fourth person who he said may have identified the killers. It was a witness who wrote that he saw a woman that night matching Nicole Simpson's description, apparently confronted by two men, neither of them, which was O.J. Simpson. And he said upon hearing of the murders the next day, he recalled what he saw on tape and wrote a detailed description and sketch of his observations. But the defense team decided not to call any of those four witnesses to the stand for in fear that additional jurors would be dismissed and a mistrial would be declared. After that whole eight-month trial, he figured it wouldn't end anytime soon if they would have done that. So, actually, Bailey, if you want to go to his website, or you can Google it, but it's the Simpson Verdict is what it's called. But he says that although Simpson was found not guilty in the court of law, Bailey said it's important for him to prove the innocence in the court of public opinion. And he said that his reputation was kind of damaged among the rednecks of America, which there are many more than people seem to realize. It is terribly damaging, and that's from F. Lee Bailey. I just wanted to share that in case you still have some doubts about the O.J. decision, although Punk A. Chauncey is bringing that up again.
Well, you know, Google to go on with Bailey. That, we had a friend in Syracuse that used to work downtown. We called him Face. He went to Syracuse University. He was from around the same area as O.J. Simpson. I remember when this broke out. He was mm-hmm. home when he came back, you know, because I was in the media then getting my feet wet underneath me, so to speak. And he was telling me by the news reports out there how there were four different people who had went to the police and told them it wasn't O.J. It was four
right.
other people that were masked. They were masked. They were in the neighborhood. And they kept saying this, and I remember at that time Geraldo Rivera had a show on, I believe it was on CNN, and even though some of those people went on that show, but you never saw that tape again, you never heard those people reported from ever again.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, like the defense doesn't have to do anything. It's the prosecutor who has to prove their case, not the defense, not the other way around.
Right, and it's funny, like, the court of public opinion is always that O.J. must did it. He did it, and we could see that he did it because of whatever. I just want to say that it's crazy that this guy is bringing this up, and I just want to remind everybody, you can call in, you can join in on the discussion, or hit us up in chat. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. For anyone on the line, just hit 1 on your phone, and we will bring you in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. And you know, just in case, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas that they won't consider anyone else, hence Chris Garden or Punk A. Chauncey versus the late Johnny Cochran Jr. is what this segment is about. Finesse, now, do you remember Chris Garden doing the whole thing?
Yeah, because I was working at Fox at the time.
Oh, that's
and,
right. Mm-hmm.
We sat there, and we had the whole behind the scenes because we had cameras there. So we could see, you know, at that time, I believe it was, what was that, True TV? It wasn't True TV back then.
Oh, right. You were seeing the live feed.
We were seeing the live feed. So, so we saw it all. I mean, I watched that whole trial from start to beginning, and it was just a disaster. You know,
yeah.
I remember the gloves. When they brought the gloves to the table, I remember my boy, Kevin Cook, worked Master Control with me. He said, those gloves don't look like they fit. I remember our operations manager, Vinny Lopez, he was like, yeah, those gloves look small. Who's going to try those on? And when they try them on, we're like, case over.
Man. Now, Kathleen, do you remember Chris Darden crying at the end of that trial?
Yes.
Do you remember watching that?
I would
crying
because
Marcia broke up with him.
I would hope that you would remind me of that moment. I was very upset, and I had mixed feelings about seeing this man crying on television. I was feeling very chauvinistic.
I was disturbed by it.
A real fun cry, right? But that just wasn't the moment. And I just felt so bad not having empathy for my brother crying on TV. I wanted to stop that. I really am an advocate of men feeling their emotions and being sensitive and showing their sensitive side, just not at the end of that O.J. Simpson trial, you know. So it's kind of hypocritical, but hey.
Right, not a hit job.
He was crying. He wasn't crying because of the case, because Marsha Clark told him after the case was over where they was done.
That's a black-on-black crime. That is a black-on-black crime.
Hey, the commissioner has spoken.
Had he not been black, that is not a black-on-black crime.
Marsha Clark is white, and he's black. That is not a black-on-black crime.
That's a black on Oreo cookie crap.
See, what kind of commissioner is this? This is why
I'm not throwing any flags. See, because this is justified black-on-black crime segment, and so Tim Darden don't really deserve us to have any respect for him. And I know you can call in 909-265-9189 or send us an email at, I was just going to get my email address. You can see, send it to blackonblackcrime@solarcities.com. Send your comments there, and I'll delete them there. And we don't really care. Now, Kathleen, because I know Kathleen always laughs when I do that. But I'm just saying, you're right about the fact that it was a little too much for us to be that. We know that he was brought into that case just because they need to add some color. It's like watching Mitt Romney in their campaign throw up, a senior advisor who just happened to be a black woman not making sense on TV. We know she ain't there.
Like we just talked about, accepting Nicki Minaj.
Oh, right. Oh, if Romney accepts Nicki Minaj to go on tour with him, he is going to have a problem. Well, he already has a problem, but I can't imagine. But anyway, well, we thought we'd share that and give Kathleen a laugh today. Kathleen, we're actually gonna have a clip of the speeches by First Lady Michelle Obama and former President Bill Clinton during the Democratic Convention. That's gonna be our next break that we're gonna take in about 5 minutes. So. So we're going to talk about the DNC and then let Finesse set it off. What's the segment, Finesse? Isn't that what you're...
Oh, no. Well...
Huh?
I was going to do something.
I didn't hear
you. Might not have time. We need to get the Lupe fiasco, especially with Kathleen on the phone, because I would like to hear her opinion.
Oh, you... On the Lupe fiasco or the...
Yeah.
Or after
Lupe
the DNC?
Fiasco.
Okay, because we're not hitting that...
I'll save that for next week.
Okay, well, we're just going to hit that at the top of the hour because we're going to have to take a break. I just want to remind you, you listen to Black on Black Crime. We're on with Finesse and Kathleen, the Commissioner Kathleen. We're giving you a new nickname, Commish. The Commish.
I like that.
What did you say, Finesse?
I said, oh, Lord.
And I got flags over here, too. I got flags.
Oh, you know what? The commiss can find you, so I only want to – she can give you a timeout. So I can't do that. I can just throw flags. Commiss can give you a timeout.
That's
later, after further review, you see that you're going to get an email.
I'm going to replay.
Yeah, he's going to get an email that the first 5 minutes of the show, he's going to be banned.
I'm going to get an email and flags. I might as well say, is she a replacement commiss? Because we had feedback earlier. I'm just trying to understand – what kind of commission
is it? See, now you want clarification. Okay, well, fine. We're gonna address that in another session, so we're not going to do that right now. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through, take a quick break. We're going to go and listen to the DNC's convention with some speeches from Michelle Obama. We just want to kind of keep you in the loop on what's going on with politics since we actually brought it up on this show. I think we brought it up on last show as well. So we're going to go in and give you some of the DNC. I'm trying to think, when was that? She spoke the first night, right?
That was Thursday. She spoke Wednesday night, I believe. No, Tuesday.
She spoke Tuesday? Okay.
Yeah,
so she
spoke Tuesday.
Bill Clinton
spoke
Wednesday.
Wednesday, and the president spoke Thursday.
Yep.
Okay. So this is from Tuesday and Wednesday from the DNC that we have clips. This is from First Lady Michelle Obama and I'm trying to think of his name. Good Lord. The former president, Bill Clinton. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Stick with... Oh, here it is. All right. So, here we go. DNC from last week.
I have had the extraordinary privilege of traveling all across this country, and everywhere I've gone and the people I've met and the stories I've heard, I have seen the very best of the American spirit. So many people had a hand in our success, from the teachers who inspired us to the janitors who kept our school clean. And we were taught to value everyone's contribution and treat everyone with respect. I have seen firsthand that being president doesn't change who you are. No, it reveals who you are. Barack refused to listen to all those folks who told him to leave health reform for another day, another president. He didn't care whether it was the easy thing to do politically. No, that's not how he was raised. He cared that it was the right thing to do. I can honestly say that when it comes to his character and his convictions and his heart, Barack Obama is still the same man I fell in love with all those years ago. Stand together for the man we can trust to keep moving this great country forward. My husband, our president, Barack Obama.
We are here to nominate a president. I want to nominate a man who's cool on the outside. But who burns for America on the inside. I want a man who had the good sense to marry Michelle Obama. I proudly nominate him to be the standard bearer of the Democratic Party. I actually never learned to hate them the way the far right that now controls their party seems to hate our president. The Republican argument against the president re-election was actually pretty simple. It went something like this. We left him a total mess. He hadn't cleaned it up fast enough, so fire him and put us back in. As another president once said, there they go again. When President Barack Obama took office, the economy was in free fall. It had just shrunk 9.4% of GDP. We were losing 750,000 jobs a month. Are we doing better than that today? The answer is yes. Since 1961, the Republicans have held the White House 28 years, the Democrats 24. In those 52 years, our private economy has produced 66 million private sector jobs. So what's the job score? Republicans, 24 million. Democrats, 42. Individuals and businesses have already gotten more than $1 billion in refunds from insurance companies because the new law requires 80 to 85% of your premium to go to your health care. No president. No president. Not me. Not any of my predecessors. No one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Your host, Jerome, with co-host Finesse on the line. Finesse. Oh,
yes, sir.
Good loud.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're still having technical difficulties. You know how that goes.
I'm here.
The board is a little jumpy.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Just check it out. You're making sure you're still with us.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
You know, we're having a little technical difficulties on the audio side. You know, sometimes that happens. We have a call on the line. We're going to bring another call in. We still have the commish here. Hey, commish.
Hey.
Okay. You know what? I thought Finesse did something and got rid of the commish.
I would never do that. We on the commish network. I'm not trying to get. I have enough fines that I got to pay for.
All right. So everybody, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You're here on with Finesse and the Commish. We have a call on the line. Just want to welcome you on to the show. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. What's your name and what's your comment?
Hi, my name is Christine. I have a comment pretty much on the topic of the show because it's funny because I just got done wrapping up a YouTube video about Black on Black Crime, and it's crazy because part of me believe the only reason why black on black crime continue to perpetuate is because I think individuals are lazy. They're stuck in that same mentality, that negative mentality, and it's like they keep accepting the negative and they don't want to think about anything positive and move forward, which keep them analyzing and criticizing other African Americans and attacking each other because they keep accepting, you know, their situation is being negative and they are not willing to change it. And I believe that's just like, it's sad at the same time and it's disrespectful and it's wrong. Like, they try to drag, like, non-blacks. I'm not going to say non-blacks, but, like, half black people. Let's just say like somebody is like biracial. Uh-huh. They try to like these negative people try to suck anybody in. Misery loves company. So I mean, these people, they get YouTube accounts and they don't do anything but talk about the same things over and over again. It's the same stuff, but they word it differently. These people, they carefully word things. I guess psychologists would call them narcissists. But anyway,
right.
I don't like it. I don't like how African-American people focus on the negatives of other African-American people, and they don't do anything more. They don't have a life. They don't have a career. They don't even, I mean, if they have family, they're all neglected. They can do all of this, but in the meantime, they're still focusing on what someone else is doing.
Yeah. What's your name, Christine?
Yeah.
What's your name? Christine, yeah, you know, and as we talk about that, it's one of the reasons why we created the show was to say that Black on Black Crime is about that. Like, we are identifying all of those things about self-hate. Now, I do news, a weekly news show. We've been in media. Finesse has been in the media. Kathleen has – this is Kathleen's network, but Kathleen has a show. And we talk about this where people are always focusing internally. It's why black folks do mama jokes and white folks go, you know, they say things like a Jew, a rabbi, and a whatever. Like, they self-project. And so it's easy for people externally to black people to say, why are you guys hating each other like that? And black people always turn the conversation onto themselves, whereas we are making the point that nobody talks about, you know, people in trailer parks. You never hear white folks talk about that. You never hear them talk about, you know, incest or polygamy or even all of these cases where teachers are sleeping with kids across the country. That's not primarily in black communities, so it gets no news time. So you're right. This is sickening that it occupies our minds so much that we look towards negative so much that we preoccupy ourselves with it. So I wanted to say that, and I'm definitely thank you for calling in, unless you had another comment.
Yeah, I actually do have another comment.
Yeah.
I also, like, I came forth with my self-hate. I just wanted to encourage other people, like, in order to heal, you have to stop denying. You have to stop denying that there are issues within yourself or within your household and your family. Like, I think African-American people are in denial. They deny everything. And like you said, they self-project. they do this against other African Americans. I just wanted to put out there, like, it takes us to take the first step to admit that we do have mental health issues. And one of the biggest in mental health issues is self-hate. It exists within the Black community. I don't know why they say it doesn't.
Yeah, and it turns on us. Vanessa, I know you talk about this. We'll let Vanessa get in on the conversation. Kathleen, your mic's open as well.
All right. Well, you know, sort of, and Rome, you because we have some women on the line, and this goes into exactly, you know, I mean, you guys, this is a perfect segue, because we were going to talk about the whole Lupe Fiasco song and how talks about how we project. And the song is Bad Bitch, name of the song. And I just want to take a minute. I just want to read. I can't make up my mind which verse I want to read. So I'm going to start with the first verse where he says, now imagine there's a shorty, maybe five, maybe four, riding around with his mama listening to the radio, and the song comes on, and not far off from being born, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't trying to make it complex, but let's just say Shorty has an undeveloped context about the perception of women these days. His mama sings along, and this is what she says. The N-word, I'm a bad bitch, far above average. And maybe other rhyming words like cabbage and savage and baby carriage and other things that match it. A couple of things that I hear. First, he's relating the word bitch with his mama, comma, and because she's relating to herself, his most important source of health and mental health, he may feel respect for dishonor. Now, earlier last week when he released the video, it wasn't bad enough that white media was upset, but they're upset because he's coming up with a song that'll take money out of their pocket, where you won't want to watch Basketball Wives and all this other stuff, because this is what he's talking about, is what the image is that they see. And to go along with the caller's comments, there are a lot of Black women who are in media are upset at Lupe Fiasco, saying, well, it's my choice. If I want to be called a B-word and I can look and do it, whatever, and listen to whatever I want to, they took the whole song out of context because he's saying there's a problem of how we see ourselves, and it starts at a young age. So if you feed your son or your daughter this mess, imagine what they grow up. And in verse 2, it talks about little girls watching videos, and they see these video vixens and how they doing whatever they need to do to get money from this dude. So it's funny how, you know, we come up with black on black crime because we're trying to make our people, for everybody, think better of themselves and look at us in a different way and stop putting images out there that can harm us. But in the black community, we tend to support these kind of things. And for Lupe to get blasted, and these are respected women. I'm not talking about some woman who may have low self-esteem or whatever issues. We're talking about women that are in media. And here a guy coming out with a positive song, and they blast him. And I was shocked. So we have some women. We have the Commissioner Kathleen, and we have our other guests. I want to hear from women and see what they think.
Okay. Kathleen or Christy, either one, if you want to comment on that, it's fine. Okay. Well, no, your mic's open, by the way.
I think I retired from Adam.
Okay. And what that means to the rest of us is this, that what instead of throwing a flag on you, because you did use the B word, when I say punk A Chauncey, you did use the B quite a few times, but the problem is...
The lyrics. I thought I was going to read the lyrics.
No. You were reading the lyrics. But you have to live at least sense of that. And it's a part of what Christine was saying. It's like it's our negative focus on our negative selves, which is a bigger problem. And it's kind of like no other community does that. And we can't rake over the coals a negative to make it positive. Like, for example, I was speaking at my old high school, and I was talking to the kids, and I said to them, you can ask questions about anything, you know, kind of current events or current affairs stuff. And so they said, what are adults doing about this drug stuff that's going on in the community? And it threw me because I said to them, first of all, you're in here listening to me after school, so you're not them. So stop focusing on them. You won't be them if you don't focus on them. Of course it happens, but think about it from an adult standpoint. You're telling me that I'm going to have to go sell drugs to create harmonious drug transactions. Now, how sick is that? And they all just laugh. Right? We can't keep focusing on our negative selves to figure out how to make the negative a little bit more livable. It's like putting flat screens in jail cells. I think that was Seth Marcel's lyrics in one of his songs. But
actually,
I want to remind
some jail cells, they do have flat screens now.
Okay, see, that's black on black crime. We're going to flag you for that. All right,
no,
so
no,
you're
serious.
Listening to black on black.
No, wait. That's literal. I'm serious. They do have TVs, and they do have flat screens. Some
you're still
jails
getting,
do.
You're still getting flagged down. There's no reason for you to bring that up to seem like. What does that
know.
Mean
I
to
I just
any,
said they do have it.
I said that was a lyric from myself. Kathleen, do I have to throw a flag on him?
Okay. I would throw the flag.
Okay. Thank
I
you.
Can't get a fair. I need another commissioner.
Okay, you're about to get muted. We're putting
Seth on mute.
That's
a technical.
That's a black on black. That's a black on black.
You cannot get rid of the commissioner. That's a technical.
But that's going to be Max. I just muted him. So we're going to mute him. We're going to give him a 5-second timeout, and we're going to bring Finesse back. But I just want to say this. Christine, thanks for chiming in. We're going to leave your mic open, so if you want to still join in, you can join in on the conversation.
Okay.
I just want to remind everybody, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Kathleen on Esprit Radio, Ask Kathleen's network. And you can call in. You can join us at area code 909-265-9189. We have another call on the line. It looks like Skype or something, so we can't see the number. Thanks for calling Black on Black Crime. Give us your name and your comment.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, this is Mr. Solution, and I want to, L.A., and I want to hit this issue at the very heart of its existence. The fact of the matter is the two areas that blacks could garner, American blacks, in fact, would be to
wait
build their... Would
wait
be
a minute,
to
you
build
said that before. Now, you're not American?
No. I said we're talking about American blacks, and I'm just stating that for purposes of clarification.
We're clear. You said that before. I just wanted to ask, are you American?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you for asking. The areas mm-hmm. which this problem could be solved would be focus on family and business. A lot of blacks think they should get respect without having done the commensurate work. All those other groups that you name, whether it be white, Hispanic, Asian, those groups concentrate more on their family and their businesses. And I know that because blacks generally have to purchase their sustenance from these groups. So the fact is, you don't respect people who you know don't provide you with anything. If there was a focus on family, building the family, and businesses, all these other problems, they're concomitant problems. They're ancillary problems. They would evaporate if those areas were cleaned up.
Okay, and what was the second one?
Excuse me?
You had a second one. You said that one and another.
Family and business. And those are the two areas that the majority of blacks, they don't want to address either one of those. And those are your social support bases. If you don't have strong family, you have no point of origin. You have no point of reference. And, of course, if you don't have businesses, viable businesses, you can't support yourself. That means you're an adolescent. You're a child. So those are the two areas that I would say American blacks need to be singularly focused.
Okay. All right. Well, so I'm muting him. Thanks for calling. Here's the thing, and we've gone through this before. To Christine's point, this is not a black on hate show, and we're not going through that today again to say what the black family needs to do. We're not talking about that. We're talking about black on black crime as defined by this show is when black people overtly criticize, focus, analyze black people in an area they won't criticize, and overtly focus on anyone else, which, Ms. Solutions, you're kind of doing that right now. So I just wanted to get back on topic to say That we're not talking about that, and that is beyond the point of the conversation to say we are doing some things to ourselves. That's why nobody else is respecting that. We're not going there today. Now, Finesse, I know you wanted to talk about that when it came to when we were talking about sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in sports case, we have situations where there's not equity, and it's not equity that's caused by ourselves. It's caused by just the marketplace and how the marketplace development. So there's a story this week where the WNBA reaffirmed its distinction as the top professional sports league in hiring women and minorities in management positions. Like the league received a combined A-plus for its diversity efforts. That was released in last week's annual report by the University of Central Florida's Institute of Diversity and Ethics in Sports. And I know you had a question about that before, or you talked about this before last year when they came out with their study, so I want to know what you think about WNBA.
I think the WNBA is a great league, and I think that it could have a lot more support than what it does, but what happens, again, there's a prejudice about women in basketball, and it's sad because it's a great league. It's some great women, some great stories, and they actually can play on top of that. And it's better than some men. But when you don't get the support from the parent company, which is the NBA, when you don't get support from the channels that could be playing, that could be broadcasting the games, how is the league supposed to survive?
Right.
And there's a perception here's a negative perception of that women that play sports, that they're all gay. So that leaves a whole, and one thing the WNBA was good about, right out the gate, one of the things they wanted to disprove that was, it's not about what a person's sexual life, but they wanted to prove that women can play sports and they don't have to be deemed as gay. The first 2 or 3 years in the league, they made that push, especially with Lisa Leslie and a few others. But it shouldn't have to come to that, because the NBA doesn't waste this time proving that there's no gay athletes, men.
Well, I don't know about that, but because I know that the Houston, what was the Houston franchise name? The Comets?
Houston Comets.
No, the Comets. They were around for a few years and won the WNBA title, and they got rid of that franchise because they said the activity in the arena. I don't know what that meant exactly.
No, Houston Comets still exist.
Do they still exist?
They still exist.
Okay, because I know they were talking about that.
They just fell off because, you know, and that was a great team. They could ball. Man, they could ball. But they won too many championships, and then, you know, Cheryl Swoops said she's going back to do something else, and I forgot the other young lady that were there. They all retired. But that was a great team. I think they won 3 championships in a row. They were good.
You can't go to the Houston team
because
you know you got Texas Tech down there rocking it.
Uh-oh. She's a big Texas Tech fan, apparently. Are you alumni of Texas Tech, Kathleen?
No, I'm a Buckeye.
Oh, that's right, Ohio.
That's even worse.
I was going to say you should have said that or off the bat. All right, I want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in, join in with your questions or comments on area code 909-265-9189. Our main topic was Chris Darden, or Punk A. Chauncey, as far as the Black on Black Crime is concerned, versus the late Johnny Cochran in the OJ case. You know, we talked about the Nicki Minaj and her social media stuff that was going on with her, and as far as with Rihanna and who else was it? Rihanna and comments that she made about the president. Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And the Talib Kweli. Oh no, I'm sorry. And Lupe Fiasco, and who else?
That was it.
Oh, it was a song with Lupe Fiasco.
What
so anyway,
it's called Bad B. Or B
okay.
Bad.
Yeah.
Because I
want to
get a little flag for the lyrics of his song.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Vanessa.
What did Rihanna say about the president? I'm sorry, I missed that.
It was Nicki Minaj. She talked about that she was supporting Mitt Romney and something. And with Rihanna, it was during the VMAs of last week where there were some reports that she was having some issue with Rihanna. And she was committing a bunch of black crimes for no reason. So we just wanted to catch everybody up to speed on those topics. I know. Kathleen, is that your line? Kathleen, I know you were talking about the DNC stuff, and we played the clip, but we didn't talk about it. What did you think about the convention while we're at this, since we already talked about it?
I thought that the convention was incredible. It actually motivated me a whole lot more. I will be sending more money to the president. For his campaign. I also thought that I thought they did an effective job of delivering the message about what the state of the union is currently, what the president has done, and what his intent is for going forward. I also thought they were very effective in letting people know what the risk is if they do not get motivated and get involved and vote the Democrats back into office. I thought they did a very effective job doing that. I thought Michelle was incredible starting out on the first night to grab everybody's heart, because usually if we have your heart, you're going to listen long enough to put your head in the game. And she was phenomenal in doing that. She had my heart. She had my compassion. She really made the White House feel alive and real, and also the necessary motivation needed for everybody in America to get behind this man called President Barack Obama. I really think she did a real great job. And then Bill Clinton came in and knocked it, he won every championship, NFL, NBA, hockey. He knocked it out of every park. I thought he was incredible. And then the president just came in, wrapped it up with a nice little tight bow, and sent it Federal Express. They were on top of their game.
Right. I watched a little bit of the Republican, and it was dull in comparison. And I know during some of the other shows that I've been on, people have been talking about what's the purpose of the convention, and the purpose of it generally is to rally up your base. And I think the Democrats always have more energy, and so they really did do a really good job of making the point of why their policies work better. And I don't think the Republicans did a good job on that. Now, I know we still have some folks on the line, but Christine, while you're there, do you want to comment on that? Did you watch any of the
I was waiting for you to ask me to comment, because I wanted to comment on Nicki Minaj and that incident there. I heard about that over the internet because I don't watch a lot of television, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing, so I haven't seen for myself. And I'm not surprised. The girl has no talent anyway, so I'm not surprised she would say something out of her mouth like that to draw attention to herself. She's running out of ideas. Good luck with her.
Right. And that's what
is
we...
Is that a black-on-black crime, though? I don't know.
No, it sure isn't. And let me tell you why it isn't. When we talked about Nicki earlier, it's that when you talk about someone who is clowning, you don't really consider them into our political discussions. And so since she made a political statement and she has media attention, we have to call her out on that. So... that's why on Black on Black Crime, we have a justified Black on Black Crime, and Christine just made a justified. She was justified in that because we all did it earlier. So, Kathleen, I know you want.
On Black Crime, you just given her a pass.
Say it again?
I said it is Black on Black Crime, you just given her a pass.
No, that's not. That's not a Black on Black Crime. That's an observation.
Oh, okay.
She's
I was
not,
just trying to understand what you were saying. I thought you said it was justified. So I was like, okay. You know, I'm a lawyer. I got to have the details. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Christine, Kathleen is an attorney, so she's checking us on our words. Don't worry about it. And you said you wanted to make another comment. You listened to the DNC, the political stuff that was going on as well?
I don't want to say anything that is going to, you know, trap me up because you said she is a lawyer. And I don't want to up the lie.
No, she's not that bad. We're just joking about that. She is, but you're good. She's friendly.
I don't like watching a lot of television only because, like, but I don't think you guys care about personal reasons, but I don't watch a lot of television. But I heard about what I heard about over the internet, and that hurt me because not only, I mean, she said I was making a black-on-black crime statement, but Nikki, that hurt me the most because she's black too. I mean, it doesn't even really matter where she's from. Like, she's black as well. But I didn't see it. I mean, if there's a way that I could go look it up on the internet and catch what I missed, then, I mean, please don't be mad at me, but I just don't watch a lot of television.
Oh, no. Kathleen West was saying that about you. She was saying where she was making a point where we're ganging up on Nikki, like where we're committing a black-on-black crime against her. But the premise of the show is that if we're calling someone out who committed a black-on-black crime, it doesn't matter what we say. Like, that's not a crime committed against her. She struck out and came out of her mouth and said something that actually kind of went against the best interest of black people generally. But since she gets media attention in the big picture, it's taken as law. And so we have to call that out when we hear it is the thing. So Catherine can go against you. She was asking a question.
It's a few of Nicki Minaj's songs over the past couple albums that actually does attack African American and generally women. It's a lot of her lyrics you got to listen to. Stupid H, I don't want to say the word because I know you put the other one on, you know, mute for 5 minutes. For 5 seconds. But yeah, listen to those.
I gave a 5 second mute.
It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy how she just attacked her own people like that. I think it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and by the way, Finesse, with our technical difficulties, Finesse has actually dropped off of our line, so we're waiting for Finesse to call back. And so we didn't mute him and kick him off the show. He's calling back. Kathleen, I know. By the way, Christine, I know no Nicki Minaj songs. I've heard her in other people's songs, but she's not really appealing to me. But I understand the point. If that's what she's doing in her music, that is worse. It's kind of like saying, well, I want to call out any other artist, but it's kind of like when you have an artist who is out there just being sensational, do you call them out for not being a family person? Like, I remember a long time ago with N.W.A. and Ice Cube and all those guys, people would make comments about, you know, them using the B word and all this other stuff. But more importantly to me is that if you look at them personally, I think Ice Cube's wife, I don't know if he went to high school with her. I know Snoop's, you know, they've known since high school age. They're not misogynistic generally in their lives, whereas they are telling a story. And I said there's a big difference between trying to sell somebody on a story or trying to teach them something. So it's a little bit different to me. And that is kind of my opinion on it. And again, you listen to Black on Black Crime with Jerome and Finesse. We have the Commits. We have Kathleen on the line, and we have Christine on the line. And I know we have others on there, but again, if you hit one on your line, we will bring you in to hear your comments. And we have some folks in the chat room, and someone in the chat room said we need to define black-on-black crime because I live around white folks and they do more crime of a certain type. And you're right about that, and it's the point of the show. We don't talk about all these other crimes that are being committed on the daily in the big picture because we kind of internally focus everything on ourselves and become overcritical. So, like I said, I did do news stories where we get at least about, you know, 4 or 5 a week of teachers getting arrested for sleeping with students all over the place. And the pictures of the women are pretty much from 25 to 45, some a little older, some a little younger, but they're literally sleeping with students. And there are not very many people of color at all, but they don't make major news media stuff. And saying they don't do that, we shouldn't do that. So when black people commit a black-on-black crime, we need to call them on that. Now, Kathleen, I know you tell us about Aspen on Sunday. We haven't heard from you in a second. Okay, maybe Kathleen has us on mute.
No, yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
You had us on mute. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. Ask Kathleen on Sunday night. You mean what?
Yeah,
just
Sunday night.
Sunday night,
yes.
On PR at this number at 8 o'clock. And we do, you know, we do a lot of Jerome is with us and my sister Ronnie, and we have different topics, issues, and we have guests every week also. And if you have anything that you want to ask a question about, whether it's love, relationships, marriage, kids, parenting, single parenting in particular, sometimes law, whatever issues you have, call up and ask Kathleen. And you have a panel of experts, including Mr. Jerome Esprit, the host of Black on Black Crime, on there to give you some insight about whatever it is that you want to ask. And if you don't want people to know that it's you, you can call up and say, listen, my cousin Bobo wanted to know Bubba and I asked me to call and find out, you know. So whatever it is, but don't suffer with your questions. Call up and get some help.
Well, you know what? We won't say Bobo in them. I don't know if that's a black-on-black crime, Kathleen. I'm not sure. But I wanna thank you thanks for joining in, Christine, today. I know Kai is traveling, so for Ness and Jerome, Kathleen, Christine, if you want to have another comment, Christine, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you weren't cutting me off. I was actually listening.
Okay. So I want to thank everyone for joining us on the ACN Network, on Ask Kathleen's Network, on Esprit Radio. You can catch us throughout the week by sending your emails if you have some stories that you would like us to do. Just send it to BOBC, Black on Black Crime, at soulofsyracuse.com. That's S-O-U-L of S-Y-R-A-C-U-S-E.com. And we'll add it to the program if we get it in on time. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for you guys in the chat room. Thanks for everyone on the line who's joined us this week. And just remember, join us again next week, Mondays, 2 o'clock, Ask Kathleen and Esprit Radio. And our call-in number is area code 909-265-9189 in case you need to add it to your phone and want to, you know, call in a little later. All right. So we'll see you again next week. And remember, all contents of this program is protected and may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved. We'll see you again next week.